You're listening to the Parkside Christian Church podcast. Here at Parkside, our mission is to love God, love people, and help others do the same. To learn more, visit ParksideChristian.com.
Good morning, everybody. My name is Matt Robinson. I'm the lead pastor here. How do you celebrate the 4th of July? What are some of the ways that you celebrate? What are your favorite things? Let me hear. Okay, we don't have anybody that knows how to celebrate here. I'm worried about you all, right? Coming to my house. Hey, there's going to be a party. If you show up, we'll figure out something. Get out some crackers or something. Fireworks, right? Fireworks are fun. You've got the parade. We're going to go to New Richmond's parade later today. I love that. Such a good time. Maybe it's the cookout, the grill, the chance that men have to feel like they actually know how to cook by charring something on the grill. At some point, many of you, maybe you've already done it, judging by the looks of it, some of you have already gotten too much sun this weekend. You are going to find your favorite chair. I got to be careful. This thing leans back. There we go. You're going to find your favorite chair, get out in the sun, hopefully with some sunscreen on, and you're going to relax, right? You're going to celebrate that extra day, and it's great to have a normal work day that becomes a relaxed day, a day that you can do whatever you want. Now, I love the 4th of July because it's a time where it feels like everybody celebrates by getting outside. People from all different walks of life, every different generation, people with different views, different opinions, we come out and we celebrate at the parade, we celebrate at the fireworks, and we celebrate in each other's backyards. But hopefully, sometime this weekend, you get a chance to celebrate by relaxing, by taking a deep breath. I've heard somebody say that you are what you celebrate. Kind of like that line, you are what you eat, which I don't want to think about after the hot dogs I know I'm going to eat this weekend. But if you are what you celebrate, think about that for a moment. If your family or your business, your group of friends are what you celebrate, what are the things that you throw the biggest parties for? What are the things in your family that you give the most attention to, you get the most excited about? What do you throw a party for? You might not believe this, or you might be surprised by it, but God actually knows how to celebrate. God knows how to throw a party. He actually takes on the role several times in Scripture of being the party planner. The psalmist in Psalm chapter 30, he writes, "You have turned my mourning into my wailing into dancing. You've removed my sackcloth, and you've clothed me with joy." Think about that real quick. In the course of just two verses, right? God has taken somebody that was mourning, that was sad. He's placed joy within them. He's changed their uniform from a sad one to a party one, and he's gotten them out on the dance floor. In Leviticus chapter 23, Leviticus is one of those first five books of the Bible that we've been going through in this Into the Wild series. Moses has a conversation with God where God takes the role of party planner. This is chapter 23, verse 1. "The Lord said to Moses, 'Speak to the Israelites and say to them, these are my appointed festivals, the appointed parties of the Lord, which you are to proclaim as sacred assemblies.'" And in the rest of that chapter and the section following that, he talks about these parties. And there's the Passover, the festival of unleavened bread. There's the offering of the first fruits, the festival or the party of weeks. Man, that's the party you want to go to, right? Hey, come over to our house party tomorrow. It's the party of weeks. Like, how long is that going to go? The Day of Atonement, the Festival of Tabernacles. And then he also talks about a weekly party that we're going to talk about this morning, Sabbath. You may also not have realized that God didn't just command us to celebrate. He didn't just command us to throw parties at different times. He also commanded us to celebrate by resting, by pressing pause. In Exodus chapter 20, God gives us the Ten Commandments. And these Ten Commandments are mostly things that you would expect. So if you read Exodus chapter 20, you would see this story of Moses going up onto a mountain and getting these stone tablets from God. And there was this cloud that was God's presence that hovered over the mountain. And the Israelites were down below and they were terrified by what was going on because it was so crazy. Makes you think a little bit about the fireworks displays you're going to see, this weekend. You can just almost imagine God giving Moses the commandments one by one, just boom, boom, boom. And they all kind of make sense. They're all rules that kind of make sense for order, for things to work with this new group, this new free group, the Israelites. It's like, hey, don't kill. Okay, that makes sense. Don't steal. Okay, that makes sense. Don't lie. Okay, makes sense. But then there's one that isn't like the rest of them. It's the only spiritual discipline that makes it into the list. It's Sabbath. And you kind of go, wait a second. How does this one fit in with the rest? And it's phrased differently. If you chop up all the words, it adds up to about 30% of the words in the passage that gives us the Ten Commandments. Listen to how it reads. Remember the Sabbath day. This is Exodus 20, starting in verse 8. Remember the Sabbath day by keeping it holy. 6 days you shall labor and do all your work, but the seventh day is a Sabbath to the Lord your God. On it you shall not do any work, neither you nor your son or daughter, nor your male or female servant, nor your animals, nor foreigner residing in your towns. For in 6 days the Lord made the heavens and the earth, the sea and all that is in them, but he rested on the seventh day. Therefore, the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and made it holy. So, what's this Sabbath that God commanded us to observe? Let me introduce you to the Sabbath. That's actually Black Sabbath. Keep going. Okay, there we go. Sabbath. It comes from a Hebrew word, Shabbat. And it means to stop. The Sabbath is a simple day to stop working, to stop wanting, to stop worrying, to just stop. Exodus chapter 20 that we just read wasn't the invention of the Sabbath, the Shabbat, though. God had given mankind the pattern for rest, the Sabbath, all the way back at creation. If you flip back in your Bibles to Genesis 2, verse 1 and 2, it says, "Thus the heavens and the earth were completed in all their vast array. By the seventh day, God had finished the work he had been doing. So on the seventh day, he rested," Shabbat. He stopped. "Then God blessed the seventh day and made it holy, because on it he rested from all the work of creating that he had done." God rested. He stopped and rested in his creation and in his work. This was a connection that Moses made as well. It wasn't just God giving him the Ten Commandments and including it in that. It's not just us looking back on it and going, oh, I see the connection. Listen to how Moses explains it in another passage in Exodus 31, verse 17. He said, "The Sabbath is a sign between me and the children of Israel forever. For in 6 days the Lord made the heavens and the earth, and on the seventh day he rested and was refreshed." God modeled this for all of mankind from the day that he made us. And now he's commanding the Israelites, you must rest. I like the way that the author, Nan Fink, puts this. She says, "The Sabbath is the basic unit of Christian time. How does a follower of God set our schedule? How do we mark our calendars? Around rest with God." But why is God telling the Israelites this now? Like, they are in the middle of the wilderness. they are in the middle of this journey, and God is giving them these laws to provide order and governance. And he says, and also every 6 days you're going to stop and rest. And they're like, well, God, we're pretty excited about getting to our destination. Doesn't that strike you as a little odd? Go take a day off. I command you. Go have a slice of pie. I command you. Go have some more of that potato salad. I command you. The Israelites, they were declared free, but they had to learn how to live as free people. On the 4th of July, we celebrate the Declaration of Independence. When our forefathers signed the Declaration of Independence, they were declaring, hey, we're free. We are our own people now. We are separate and apart. But it wasn't like they signed those papers and everything was official and, hey, let's go ahead and have a holiday. There was a lot of work. There was a lot of pain. There was a lot of suffering. There was a lot of sacrifice just to actually preserve that freedom and then to learn how to live in that freedom. The Israelites were declared free, but God had still a lot of work to do in them and through them for them to actually embrace what free living looked like. Check this out. The Israelites were in the wilderness for so long, they were in the wilderness for so long that the parents, the Israelites that were led out of Egypt, they first heard the Ten Commandments from Moses, but they were there so long that Moses, before he died and before the Israelites went into the Promised Land, Moses had to sit down all the kids that had grown up in the wilderness and give them the Ten Commandments again. The thing that's interesting is when he sits them down in the book of Deuteronomy, one of those first five books that we've been talking about, he says it a little bit differently. Listen to how he says it in Deuteronomy 5:15 as he talks to them about the Ten Commandments and specifically about Shabbat. Remember that you were slaves in Egypt and that the Lord your God brought you out of there with a mighty hand and an outstretched arm. Therefore, the Lord your God has commanded you to observe the Sabbath day. Do you see the change there? He connects their need for rest, their need for Sabbath, to the fact that they're free people now. He's telling them, you're not slaves anymore. Remember to rest in the identity that God has given you. How do you become a free people? You rest in the knowledge that God is your Father and that you don't need to do everything, that you aren't in control, that everything isn't going to fall apart when you pause because God is the one holding things together. What do we need to celebrate as followers of Jesus? We need to celebrate that. Just like the Israelites needed to embrace that in the wilderness, now through Jesus, we need to embrace and celebrate that we're God's children. The Israelites were God's chosen nation. And now through Jesus' work on the cross, every one of us, you, me, all the people around the world have been chosen by God. We just need to make the choice to embrace being chosen by God. A long, long time later, the Apostle Paul, one of the early followers of Jesus, wrote a letter to a church in Galatia, and he talks about this same need to embrace this freedom. It's Galatians chapter 4, verses 4 through 7. But when the set time had fully come, God sent his son, born of a woman, born under the law, to redeem those under the law, that we might receive adoption to sonship, because you are his sons. God sent the spirit of his son into our hearts, the spirit who calls out, Abba, Father. So you're no longer a slave, but God's child. And since you are his child, God also made you an heir. If God has written you into his will, you can rest. You can press pause. God freed the Israelites with his mighty hand, and he wanted them to live as his free children. Jesus made the same choice to rescue all people, and he died so that all of us might have the opportunity to follow him and find rest in him. Jesus actually talked about the Sabbath, Shabbat, a lot in the Gospels. And some of that was because people didn't necessarily understand how he and his followers spent their time on Shabbat, on Sabbath, because people were supposed to rest. And we all know those people. Maybe you are those people that can turn a vacation into work, right? Where you're like, I have to have every moment planned out. I have to have it scripted. And if we don't stay on schedule, this is going to be an awful vacation. Well, in Mark chapter 2, the Pharisees had spent generations, the religious leaders had spent generations turning the Sabbath that was supposed to be rest into work. Because they were saying, hey, you have to rest exactly the right way, otherwise you're breaking the law. That's stressful, right? But some of us do that. We go, hey, if you don't do it the right way, I can make it work. And so Jesus and his followers were walking through this field, and as they were walking through this field on the Sabbath, some of his disciples picked up just heads of grain from the field, and they rubbed it in their hands, and they ate it. And the Pharisees said, oh, time out. You're harvesting grain? You're preparing a meal? You, my friend, are working. And they asked Jesus, they said, so Jesus, are you cool with this? Are you cool with your disciples breaking one of the Ten Commandments? They're supposed to be resting. Listen to what Jesus said in response to them. Mark 2:27. Then he said to them, the Sabbath was made for man, not man for the Sabbath. He's saying, hey, time out. Sabbath is not man's job. Sabbath is man's privilege given to him by God. This is a gift from God, not another burden, not another item on your checklist. It's a moment where you're supposed to be able to say, God loves me, and I can rest in that. Whether you love your job or you hate it, by the end of the week, you're exhausted, right? That's the way that work kind of works. It takes your energy, whether you enjoy doing it or not. And we need time to recharge. Listen to this quote from the book Sabbath by Wayne Mueller. If we do not allow for a rhythm of rest in our overly busy lives, illness becomes our Sabbath. Our pneumonia, our cancer, our heart attack, our accidents create Sabbath. When we have a long list of things to do, it's hard for us to pause and ignore that list. We tend to keep our hands on the plow, and we don't realize how dangerous that is. The longer you grip the wheel of control, saying, I can do everything, the harder and harder it is for your body to get the rest you need. Sabbath is like a governor on the speed of life. I recently read this book. I really recommend it. It's by John Mark Comer. It's called The Ruthless Elimination of Hurry. And in this book, John Mark Comer tells a story about the last time that society tried to switch from a seven-day work week. It was in France during the Revolution. For productivity's sake, they switched to a 10-day work week. And the result? Disaster. The economy crashed, suicide rates skyrocketed, and productivity? It plummeted. It's been proven study after study that there is zero correlation between hurry and productivity. In fact, once you work a certain number of hours, your productivity actually stops. Do you want to know what that number is? It's 50 hours, right? That's ironic. That's practically a six-day work week. One study found that there was zero difference between productivity of workers working 70 hours a week and those who logged 55. Is it possible that God is speaking to us through our bodies? Here's another quote. Walter Brueggemann said, people who keep Sabbath live all 7 days differently. Something happens when we pause in a way that says, God, you are in control, I am not, and I am going to enjoy rest in you. There was a study that showed what groups of people in the U.S. lived the longest, and it was discovered that Seventh-day Adventists, okay, those are Christians that observe the Sabbath still, that is a staple of what they do, tend to live 10 years longer than the average American. Now, this might be too much of a stretch for you, but if you do the math, if you kept your Sabbath every single day of your life, it adds up to almost 10 years exactly. Isn't that interesting? What Jesus said in Mark 2:27 is 100% true. God gave man the Sabbath. God didn't create man for the Sabbath. A rhythm of rest is life-giving to us. And if I can be transparent with you for just a moment, I struggle with rest. I get to my day off, I get to my Sabbath with my family, and I feel like if I don't rest well, if I don't get the most out of it, I will sit in this chair and go, I need to mow the grass, I need to get groceries, I need to, there's three things in the house that get fixed, and if I don't do all those things in my day of rest, you know what I say to myself? I go, man, I screwed that up. Man, I'm a failure. And so I will overthink rest, just like the religious leaders do. We need to find that rhythm of resting and not trying to produce anything even out of our rest, just enjoying who God is and what He's done for us. In a recent staff devotion, our communications person, Allie Burst, she's hosting the online stream right now. She gave a devo, and in that devotion, she asked the question, are you a reactive worshiper or a proactive worshiper? A reactive worshiper is someone who only worships when good things happen to them. God blesses you and you go, oh God, I want to praise you. Man, I am going to see you at church on Sunday, God, because man, things are good. But when things aren't good, they kind of go, God, where are you? Time out. I'll sing you some songs later. A proactive worshiper goes, God, you have given me the gift of rest. You have made it possible for me to be called your son, your daughter. And we have a rhythm of worship. Sabbath is not just a day of rest, it's a day of worship. You know, the word Shabbat in Hebrew, it means to stop, but it can also mean delight, to take joy in something. God made us, and He stopped to rest, He stopped to delight in His creation. 1 Thessalonians 5:18 says, give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. We need to delight in God. Take that moment to stop and rest. Since God made us in the beginning, He has been waiting in the garden to spend time celebrating with us. One last quote from John Mark Comer's book. If you want to go and meet God, you don't have to make a pilgrimage to Mecca or Varanasi or Stonehenge. You just have to set aside a day of the week to Shabbat, to stop long enough to experience Him. God is waiting for us in rest if we take the time to be with Him. Like I said at the beginning, you are what you celebrate. What you give your attention to is who you become. Are you resting and realizing that you are a son and daughter of God? That God has made this rest for you? If you're not spending time in the chair, in conversation with God, will you ever embrace your identity as God's child? We're going to enter into a time of communion now. And we're going to do something just a little bit differently before communion. If it's your first time here, or if you're watching online, we've got communion around the room that you can grab in bags. Go ahead and grab that, but don't take it yet. Here's what I want you to do. I just want you to sit back in your chair, your feet on the floor, and I want you to close your eyes for a second. Now, some of you are saying, this is what I do every time you speak, Matt. There's a reason we don't give you these comfortable chairs, because if we did, you wouldn't make it 5 minutes into my message, right? But just take a second, close your eyes, and I just want to give you some things to think about. Take a deep breath. Slow yourself down. Take your mind just like a dry erase board and just try and wipe it off for just a second. When was the last time you paused and just talked to God? Take another breath. When was the last time you found that comfortable place and you said, I don't have to do anything, I don't have to produce anything, I don't have to prove anything. I am a son, I am a daughter of the King. When was the last time you rested knowing that God was your Father? When was the last time you forced yourself to just take that deep breath and know that the worries that you had a moment ago, a day ago, the to-do list that you had to do a moment ago could wait? That God had created a space of rest, not for you to just pause, but for you to delight in Him. Let me pray. God, we come to this moment and we recognize the need to rest. Lord, I think about the fact that when you gave us communion the first time, when you gave us the bread and the wine that represented your body and your blood, that was a party. That it was the Passover meal. It was a festival that everyone was celebrating. You came to the party saying, I am going to do the work to save you. You can enjoy this meal because of the work I am doing and will do. Lord, help us to celebrate that we are your children. And in that, to recognize that we can find rest in you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Thanks for listening. You can stay connected with us throughout the week by following Parkside on social media. To learn more, visit parksidechristian.com.